for each member that's decided this morning to be present. And I realize we have a number of visitors, perhaps related to the holiday season. We're here this morning, and we appreciate again that you've come to be with us. And I trust that you'll find the time this morning beneficial, that you'll learn something that you can indeed take home with you. It'll be of great value to you. I appreciate these good young people. The fact that they've come forward this morning to set this close to this preacher. Sometimes young people want to run all the way to the back, get as far away as they can. And I'm glad to see their faces and their interest and their setting front this morning and forward, and I appreciate that a great deal. I hope this week we'll have some things to say that'll be of great benefit to even these young people. Sometime during the week, maybe around Thursday night, somewhere in there, we're going to talk a little bit about selecting a lifelong companion. I think we need to say more and more about the home and the family, and we need to say some things to our young people about the importance of the selection that they make. And so I want to go ahead and announce that now, and hopefully it'll be of particular interest to the young people and others who are looking for that lifelong companion. And we'll talk about the things that you really need to consider, and it may make a great difference with you, and I trust that it will. It's certainly my pleasure. I'm sorry my wife's not able to be here this morning. Our youngest, as was mentioned earlier, my youngest, who's six, Rebecca, woke up this morning not feeling at all well. We've had a lot of things going around in Indiana. You probably have here too. And she just didn't feel very good at all, and so my wife felt that she better keep her in this morning. We didn't want to come and afflict everybody here. So I hope that she'll soon be over that and be able to be with me. I know it's her desire to be here this morning. I'm just sorry that she can't be here. I know you'll be anxious to meet her, my good wife Melba, and my daughter, my other daughter's with me, Adria, sitting here by Angel in the front. And it's our pleasure, and trust it'll be a good week in the proclamation of the Word of God. But we've got serious business to get at in teaching and preaching the Word of God, and I could go on and on about my pleasure, about being here, and it's good to be with you, but I want us to get at the heart of what it's really all about. And that is teaching and preaching the Word of God. And I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning about placing Christ at the highest place. We've already done that this morning by a sibling here this morning in His name. The Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. And we've already helped to keep Christ at the highest place by singing these praises unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By singing these songs with enthusiasm and zeal in our hearts. By worshiping in spirit and in truth. We help to keep Christ at the highest place by honoring Him in our prayers, by addressing our prayers in His name and by His authority. We indeed help to keep Christ at the highest place. But I want us to see the value and the importance of this and just exactly how it is that we can do this as we study the Word of God this morning. And I'll be using as a text or a springboard for what I have to say the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and in verse 26. In verse 26, it says, "And such an high priest, regarding Jesus Christ, became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners." And now notice this next thing that's said about Jesus. "And made higher than the heavens." You might like to underscore that in your Bible for your own personal study. At least in your mind. "And made higher than the heavens." Raymond Pink wrote a song entitled "Highest Place." The words of the verse says, "We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet." That's exactly what we're talking about this morning. Placing Christ at the highest place. He is our high priest. As the apostle said, we have such an high priest. That's Jesus Christ, who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. But I'll tell you something we have to do. We have to keep Christ at the highest place in our lives. You see, the Scriptures emphasize over and over again the lofty place of our Lord, high above all else. The psalmist often spoke about the lofty position of our Lord. In the book of Psalms, chapter 97, and in verse 9, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods," the psalmist said. And in chapter 99, in verses 1 to 5, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God, and worship," now notice, "at his footstool, for he is holy." Worship at his footstool, for he is holy. In chapter 113 of the book of Psalms again, verses 1 to 5, once again, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high?" Do those scriptures impress you with the elevated position of our Lord Jesus Christ? High above all else. All else, and we come to worship at his feet. God put Christ in that position. You may wonder, how did Christ get there to such a lofty, high place? God put him there. The book of Ephesians helps us see that. Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 19. When the apostle to the Ephesians said, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he," now notice, "raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Notice these words. "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." He's above all of that, he's saying. "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him," Christ, "to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Isn't that a beautiful concept? God placed Christ far above all else, above every name that is named, above all power and all authority and all principality. Put everything under his feet. Gave him to be the head, the body of the church. What does that tell us about Jesus? His high, lofty, exalted place. And God put him there. We better not dethrone him. We better not try to remove him from that place. But keep him at the very highest place, far above all else. He is the great high priest. But do we really place Christ at the highest place? Do you? Would you say this morning that you place Christ at the highest place? I'd like to suggest to you some things that we can do to place Christ at the highest place. First of all, we can place Christ at the highest place by respecting his position in the heavens. We've been alluding to that, haven't we? But notice, if you will, the sermon in Acts chapter 2 and what it says about his position in the heavens. You remember, as we have the sermon recorded on the day of Pentecost, that grand day, the birthday of the Lord's church, when it came into existence? When Peter preached this sermon entitled, Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he talked about. And that's the kind of preaching we need today, preaching about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for us to give his life that we might have the remission of our sins. Jesus of Nazareth. And notice what he said about his exalted position. Verse 32, after he said, with wicked hands you've crucified and slain him. He says this, Jesus hath God raised up. Notice those words. Underline those words. This Jesus hath God raised up. Why? His high exalted place. The highest place that his Father could give him. When you set somebody down at your own right hand, that's a high exalted place. And that's what God the Father did with his Son, Jesus Christ. High above all else, whereof he said, we are all witnesses. What did he mean by that, we're all witnesses? They were witnesses of the fact that he had died, witnesses of the fact that he had been buried, witnesses of the fact that he had resurrected, and that he had come back, and that he had walked among them. He said, we are all witnesses of this fact. They went to that tomb that Sunday morning, and the angel of the Lord said, he is not here, he's risen. And one doubted so much he had to put his hand into his side. But when he did, he said, my Lord, my God. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this now, which ye now see and hear. What a sermon. A sermon about placing Christ at the highest place in reality. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord. Literally, Jehovah God saith unto the Lord. Saith unto his Son, sit thou on my own right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. And therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, and I'll tell you, we need to know this today, that God hath made that same Jesus whom they crucified both Lord and Christ. What's all that about? Placing Christ at the highest place. On his own right hand, exalted above the heavens, Lord of lords and King of kings. By the way, that's capital L, the first one, and little L, the second one. King of kings, that's capital K, the first one, and small k, the second one. Lord of lords and King of kings, this Jesus. Revelation 17, 14, and 19, 16. God put all things under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 27, shall be, you know what it is? Death. And that'll finally be conquered too. Are you placing Christ at the highest place? Are we? By respecting his lofty position in the heavens. But a second thing. We can place Christ at the highest place by putting his kingdom first in our lives. His kingdom. Somebody said, I didn't know he had a kingdom. Oh, yes. Why would he be called a king if he didn't have a kingdom? He couldn't be called a king if he didn't have a kingdom. The Bible says, King of kings. He's got a kingdom. He spoke often about his kingdom. He said, my kingdom's not of this world. They misunderstood. So many did about the nature of his kingdom. My kingdom's not of this world. But he said so much in preparation for that kingdom. He's often talked about it being nigh at hand. And I assure you that this day that we live, that the kingdom has been established. We're not looking for something to come yet. The kingdom is here. The Lord's church is the kingdom of God. It's the body of Jesus Christ. The reason it's called a kingdom is because of the exalted place of Jesus in the kingdom. It's not only called a kingdom, it's called a vineyard because it's a place of work. The church is referred to by many different terms to suggest things about it. It is a kingdom because it has a king. It is a kingdom because it has members or citizens. It is a kingdom because it has a territory. It is a kingdom because it has walls. That's what's meant by all that. He is the king. But I'll tell you, you've got to keep the kingdom first in your life. The king said so. You remember that in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33? When our Lord had just been talking about life, meat, body, raiment, and the anxieties connected with this kind of thing. Oh, we're going to have enough to eat? We're going to have anything to wear? We're going to have a roof on our head. Jesus said the Gentiles, they seek after these things. We need not be so over anxious about those kind of things. But I'll tell you something we better be anxious about if you're going to be anxious about anything. And that is be anxious about seeking first the kingdom of God. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you believe that? I'll tell you something about that. I believe that with all of my heart. That God will do exactly what he said through his son, Jesus Christ. That God will add those things if we'll get our priorities straightened around and put Christ at the highest place. That's what it's about, by the way. God put him there. God did everything he could do. He raised him from the dead when man had slayed him with his wicked hands. He exalted him above the heavens. He set him down at his own right hand. He said he's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. He's King of the kingdom. But we've got to keep him there. You see, we're the citizens. As members, as Christians, members of the kingdom, we can work if we're not careful to dethrone our Lord and King. I must never do that. I've got to keep the kingdom first in my life. And I'll tell you, the word first is an interesting word. It means before all else. Before all else. Our Lord is before all else. His kingdom is to be before all else. He is to be the king of our lives. And so much of the time, when you think about priorities, a lot of people today want to put the kingdom at the bottom of the list. It's the last thing they think about. The last thing they think about is the Lord's church. Don't do that. Would you place Christ at the highest place? By seeking first the kingdom of God. That's one reason why we need to attend the services of the Lord's church, isn't it? For that very reason. You remember what the apostle said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 25? He said, not, I always begin with that, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That coming together was a meeting together of the disciples of Christ, Christians, to worship God, to worship at the feet of Jesus, to place Christ at the highest place. And the apostle was saying, not forsaking the assembling, not forsaking of that coming together to place Christ at the highest place. Why would any Christian want to forsake such? When they have an opportunity to exalt him, to praise his name, to put him in the highest place and keep him there, to honor him through such assemblies and meetings together of the disciples of Christ. That's what Hebrews 10 is about. And so oftentimes we violate that. We dethrone our Lord and King by not putting His kingdom first in our lives. Young people, keep Christ at the highest place by seeking first the kingdom of God, won't you? But number three, we place Christ at the highest place by worshiping at His feet. Just like the song said, we come to You to worship at Your feet. The verses that we read just a few moments ago talked about that, didn't they, some of them? Back in the book of Psalms in chapter 99 and in verse 5. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Again, the psalmist said, in this time in 132 and in verse 7. We will go into His tabernacles. We will worship at His footstool. Remember after the Lord's resurrection? His disciples held Him by His feet. And you know what they did? They worshiped. Do you remember that? The book of Matthew 28 and in verse 9. They worshiped at His feet. The Bible says that God is a spirit. They that, remember the next word? Worship Him. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship must be to God. Worship must be with the proper attitude, the proper frame of mind, the proper spirit. Without it coming from the heart, it's not acceptable. Worship doesn't come from the heart. Doesn't mean anything. God has always looked on a person's heart. Still does. Worship must come from the heart. Sincere. And it must be according to the prescribed pattern. In truth. We place Christ this morning at the highest place, don't we? By coming here today to worship at His feet. To sing these songs of praise, we worship. To pray. To look into His Word, to uphold His Word. We give honor and praise and reverence to Him and His name. By partaking of this great memorial, the greatest of all memorials, of His death, His body, His blood, we place Christ at the highest possible place. But you know, back in the book of Malachi, Malachi found God's people disinterested in worship. They said, oh, what a weariness it is. They snuffed it. I'll tell you what Malachi said. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't mince any words. He said, you offer the blind and the lame for sacrifice. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You offer them to your governor. He won't accept it. But here you bring these things. You bring the lame and you bring the blind. You don't bring the very best. And you want to offer them to God. He'll not accept it. They said, oh, what a weariness it is. You ever feel like that? I'll tell you if you do. Shame on us. We've come to worship at His feet. Won't you place Christ at the highest place? Won't you put your heart in it? Won't you sing enthusiastically? Won't you listen to the words of prayer? Won't you open up the Bible, the Word of God, open up your mind and allow His truths to sink in deep? Won't you think seriously about this memorial lest you eat and drink damnation unto yourself? Give from your heart sincerely. Place Christ at the highest possible place by worshiping at His feet like you should. Number four, we place Christ at the highest place by confessing Christ. You remember the man from Ethiopia? You know what he said? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. What did he do? He placed Christ at the highest place. Christ, the Son of God, who came to this sin-filled earth to give his life, to shed his blood for our transgressions that we might be saved. That's what Peter talked about in the apostles on the day of Pentecost. His name, the Bible says, is above every name. I'll tell you, you can't get any higher than the name of Jesus. Did you know that? Can't get any higher than that. His name's above every name. In the book of Philippians 2 and in verses 9 to 11, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That name, by the way, has to do with his position, his title, his rank, his authority, his power. That when the Bible talks about they preached the name of Jesus, what do you think they preached? Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to him, and he preached the name of Jesus. He preached his rank, his title, his authority, his position, his place. That's what you preach when you preach the name of Jesus. An ambassador says, I'm here in the name of the President of the United States of America. What's that say? Rank, authority, power. That's how it's used. Title. The name of Jesus is above every name. And certainly we confess his name. The book of Romans chapter 10. You remember verses 9 and 10? That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What do you think would be the consequence of that? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a confession unto salvation, the salvation of your soul, by the way, in mine too. His name is above every name. Have you placed Christ above all else? Have you placed Christ above all else by confessing him as the Son of God? Have you made him the Lord of your life? We hope you will. If you have one more, the lesson's yours. Number 5. We place Christ at the highest place by doing his will. We talked a little bit about that this morning, didn't we? About the importance of obedience. You see, when we do the Lord's will, we submit to his authority. And we place ourselves under him and put him at the highest place. You know, a lot of people are just too stubborn to obey God. They really are. They don't want to put anybody above themselves. They want that lofty high place. They want to place themselves at the highest place. And I'll tell you, there are going to be some people that will never obey the gospel of Christ because they're not willing to dethrone themselves and put Christ in that lofty position that they themselves occupy. That's the problem with some people. That's the reason the Bible speaks about the meek and the humble. And if you exalt yourself, you'll be abased. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up, the Bible says. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You know who will? He that doeth the will of the Father who is in heaven. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? He asked one time, didn't he? Don't forget that. Are you saying, Lord, but are you doing his will? Are you really putting him at the highest place? Just to say, Lord, does that put him at the highest place? No. That's not enough. That's a start. Do his will. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you love me, ye will keep my commandments. Blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city. Do his will. And I'll tell you, we've got to understand what that will is. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5 and in verse 17. I hope this morning we've helped to clarify what that will is. I hope that we have helped to keep Christ at the highest place. And we're asking you this morning to put Christ in that exalted position in your life by recognizing his lofty place in the heavens, by putting the kingdom first in your life, by worshiping at his feet, by confessing Christ and doing his will. Would you say, be very honest about this, won't you? Would you ask yourself this? We'll start here, go all the way back there, and then come back around here. Is Christ in your life above all else? You see, you'll have to answer that. And I will too. The song, we place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. Can you say that this morning? Are you a member of the Lord's church, the body of Christ? Is he the king of your life? Have you said that he's the Lord of lords and king of kings? Have you confessed his name? Do you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God? Have you heard the word? Would you repent of your sins? We'll help you with that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you'll make with your mouth the confession unto the salvation of your soul. We'll baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins, and you can rise to walk in the newness of life, keeping Christ at that high, lofty position in your life all the days that you live. Don't you want to do that? Wouldn't that be the very best?